Thank you. It's good to hear. Next time you come back, you get a solo.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. It's
yeah.
Sandy may or may not be feeling a wee bit under the weather, so didn't get to bring her all today, but we'll get there again. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, oh, it's a special treat. Good morning. It is so fun to see you all here together this morning. I love it when we get together and have one service. I love being in the same room with all of you. I love to experience the Lord moving in our lives together. And that's the fun that we get to have here. This morning, we're going to take a little journey back, and I love that we did the song, No Longer Slaves. I'm no longer a slave to fear, I'm a child to God. Because there's this point in the song where the words say, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. And it's such a clear picture, a clear word picture of what happened when God parted the Red Sea. And the Israelites have been kind of locked up under slavery in Egypt. And over and over again, they're crying out to God saying, please rescue us. And Pharaoh's heart is hardened. And every time the Israelites are ready to go, he comes back and says, no, I'm not going to do it. And with all the plagues and pestilence and so on, and finally, after the firstborn in each home would be taken away, Pharaoh would say, get out of here. But even then, he would chase after the people of Israel, and they would be hopeless. They would be pushed up against the Red Sea, and God showed up. Because let me tell you, they were in fear. They were in a moment of trepidation. The impossible had to happen if they were going to live, and it did. And God split the seas, and they would walk right through that sea on dry land, and then they would get into across into Sinai, and for 40 years they would wander Sinai. 40 years they wander Sinai. And they would become rebellious at times. They would lose faith. They would not trust. We talked not long ago how within 100 days they would be building themselves a golden calf to worship because they were having trouble seeing the presence of God, a God who had so mightily split those seas. 100 days later, they're building a golden calf. And so I remember this song that we sang back in high school that said, take another lap around Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson. Till you stop that whining and you quit your rebelling. Till you learn to stand in those days of testing by trusting and obeying the Lord. Or something like that. What a fun song. But for 40 years they would wander. And then it was time. Moses would not get to take his people into the promised land. It was going to be Joshua. And so we pick up the story in Joshua chapter 4. And today, as you know, I love to just read the Word of God. Because the nation of Israel is getting ready to cross into their promised land. And so follow along as we read in Joshua chapter 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israel, of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. I'm going to keep on reading because Joshua repeats some things here. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of tribes of Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, and where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Oh, I wish they were there to this day. That'd be fun to go visit. Verse 10, now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. So they were going to a land that was promised to them, but they were going to be conquering this land. Verse 14, that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant law to come up out of the Jordan. And so Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all of the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. And so, Lord, please bless this word that you have written to us thousands of years ago, but also for us today. May we know what you have called us to in our own lives. May we know what you have called us to as a church through the reading of this and the hearing of this word. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. I love this. I love this picture. The people are waiting. Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are waiting over there on the east side of the Jordan River. The Jordan River is at flood stage. And suddenly, the waters upstream just stop. And the river dries out. And across that river goes the people of God, getting ready to inherit this land that they've been told about for years and years and years. Another miracle right before them. Many who were crossing had seen that same miracle happen 40 years earlier at the Red Sea. And here they see the same miracle happening one more time. And God says, remember. Remember. In fact, I'd like you to set up a monument when you get across the river. I'd like you to grab a stone. Contrary to what Steve believes, this was not for just random decoration this morning. Probably a much larger stone because they carried them on their shoulders. And one for each tribe as they carried across the river. When they'd get to the other side there, they'd set up this monument. And the whole point of the monument being set up was that they would bring their children back there to that point, to Gilgal. They would bring their grandchildren back there. Their grandchildren would bring their grandchildren back there. And they would tell the story of what happened on that mighty day. Of what happened 40 years after God had parted the Red Sea. That 40 years later, that again, this nation was being watched over by God. Was being taken care of by God. A faithful, good, loving, sovereign God that took care of his people. And so he would say, go back and remember. Tell the story of that miracle that God did. And I have a feeling one of the reasons that God commanded Joshua to set up that monument was that there were not always going to be the clear, visible manifestations of God at work in front of them every day. They were going to be going through the day-to-day mundane things. And at times they would be discouraged. At times they would say, where is God? I don't see him at work. And when they would ask those questions, they'd say, let's go back to Gilgal. Let's look at that monument. It's there to this day. And let's remember. That word remember in Hebrew is an interesting thing. When I got to visit Israel almost 3 years ago, our guide was pointing out that when God says to his people, remember, it's much stronger than just saying remember. He's saying, remember, don't forget. Remember, don't forget. Even in Deuteronomy chapter 8, just a little bit before the crossing here, when God says, when he says, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you don't live, or so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Verse 2, he says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness for 40 years. Remember, don't forget. Remember, don't forget. And so, over and over, and it's almost three times in Joshua chapter 4, as Joshua lays this out, that we see this story of the 12 stones. Oh, and by the way, this is what God told us to do. And by the way, this is what God told us to do. Remember, don't forget. All right, let's speed up several thousand years and come to today. It's the end of a year. We have years on our current modern calendar, and at the end of the year, we always look back, naturally. And we look back and say, oh, I gained 30 pounds this year, so I better lose it in the next month. Right? Oh, then that'll be good. We set our goals for the next year. But I think sometimes we need to stop and look backwards. And instead of getting discouraged at certain things, I know in the last month I've probably put on a few, I'd like to look over the past year and say, God, what did you do? I'd like to come to the spot of remembering. This is an exercise we're even looking at in our home, in our backyard, is I want to start to set up some stones in our backyard. And each one will be different. And this is something April and I have talked about for quite a while. But each one will represent something. Each one will represent a burden, a prayer, a need that is God-sized that we can't handle on our own. And then we're going to watch that prayer, that need, get answered. And then we're going to take it into the backyard and we're going to set up a pile of stones. And then we're going to bring our kids back out there. And Peter, you can hold us accountable to this. And then we're going to bring our kids back out there and say, oh, remember that time when we were in despair, when we were at a tough spot and God showed up and he answered that. It's a sunrise. I'd like to do that this morning. And I'm not going to talk on this. You get to. I'd like to look back over the last year or so. And we have 12, we brought 12 rocks. This is river rock that just showed up at our house. I dug it out of the ground. And there was just I don't know, the person who lived before us loved river rock. So It's everywhere. And so we started digging it. And so I have this massive pile of river rock. And so I brought some of these this morning. And I think what we're going to do is, we're going to come around the crowd. And if you have a story of where God showed up this year, I'm going to invite you to come up, take the microphone, tell that story in a very short amount of time, because there are a lot of you, and we want to finish somewhere near on time. And then take the rock over here, and we'll just set up a little monument over here, right there, to God's faithfulness. Does that make sense? Did I explain that correctly, Anita? Make sense? Okay. Anita will tell me if it doesn't. And I planted one of you out there already to start us off. So Pam, would you come up? And this is Pam Chatham, and she is a dear friend of this church. And Pam is on the board of the Sunrise Christian Food Ministry. Did I get that correct? And we got to sit in my office last week, and we're talking about something, and suddenly she just tells this God-sized story of something that God did this last year. So would you like to tell that for us?
Yeah. 3.5 years ago, the Sunrise Food Closet decided that we needed a walk-in freezer and refrigerator because we'd outgrown where we are. And so we started praying about it, and we don't go out and solicit funds, but we send out a quarterly letter to all our donors, and we started collecting funds for it. It was about $120,000, and we just hit delay after delay after delay, but we knew that God wanted us to do this, and so we just kept going forward. Well, finally, I think it was 2 weeks ago on Wednesday, we got word that they had finished making all the parts, and they were going to deliver them the following Tuesday. We were so excited, except
one that small problem.
Yeah, over the course of 3.5 years, the price went up $16,428.23, and we didn't know what to do. So the next day, we all went home and prayed, which we always do. But the next day, someone walked into the food closet and handed us a check for $16,428.23.
Do you want to set it up? You want to start our? It's a heavy one. Do you want to light her on? You're strong. I know that about you. You are strong. When Pam and I sat down this last week, she said, "I have a whole bunch more stories, but we're going to save that for later." Okay.
Okay.
So you go ahead and be the first one right over there. There's another rock already there. I put there as an example. Who else has a God-sized story you'd like to share? Oh, see, look at this. It's everywhere already. Oh, I know that one. This is going to be good. Come on. Stand on up, young lady. Yes, you.
Okay, I can't do a big rock.
This is my friend, Kathy.
You want me to come up there?
I'd love for you to come on up here, Kathy.
Oh, boy, I don't think I can get through this, but I'm going to try.
Okay, you can do it. You're going to be great.
I lost my husband in March. Well, I lost him, but God got him. But Dan, he's with the Lord. But I just saw all the things that Dan and I prayed for during his sickness and death. God just answered everything. And it was just, I just know that Dan's prayers for a lot of you too are still being answered. And for this church, he loved this church body. Anyway, I just have to tell, I have to thank the Lord for taking care of me, for being my husband right now, for my church family, my own family, my small little family, Dan's family. But I just had to give God the glory this morning. I just knew it when you said that I, and Steve and Sandy, for them to be here today, they were with us the day before Dan died. And Steve helped me with the hospice nurse, with Dan, because he was so restless. And then we, you know, he was just there at the right time. You know how God takes and he uses us just at the right time for somebody else. And they came right at the right time. And I thank God that they're here this morning. Yeah. It was real tender for me to see them today. I'll talk to them later. But thank you guys for praying for us. I know that Dan and Linda Chapman are going through it also. Pray for Linda. I'm very social, so I can get out and about. I still cry when I'm laughing and all that kind of stuff.
She does.
But I just got a lot of things to be thankful for. The way he died, the memorial service, everything that came together, huh?
Yeah.
And anyway, I just have to give God the glory for what he's doing.
So God showed up, Kathy.
He did.
God showed up. So we're going to take this over. Do you want to carry that?
I can do it.
You got it? Okay. Who's next? I saw one way in the back there. Come on up. Yeah. Oh, hi, Jen. You're going to make us cry, aren't you?
I'll start.
It's okay. You're more than welcome to.
I'll start. Okay, let's see. So many of you know that I, our family was unemployed for a couple of years. And the reason you know that is because God brought such peace to us over those years. And every time we left this church, you guys were stuffing money in our pockets. And I'm so grateful. Sometimes people we didn't know. Sometimes a verse, an envelope hidden, and sometimes someone just handing us $1,000. So this church has just been a family, and we so appreciate it. So God showed up there. The moment Tom got a job, we found out that I had cancer. So last year was a year full of battling cancer and chemotherapy and radiation. There were so many times that God didn't just whisper but shouted in miracles. And we had a time where I gave my testimony at a park, and there were so many things he did, but I'll just give you one example of the way that God speaks. There was someone here at this church who prophesied over me and said, the service was about the men who came out of the fire not even being burned.
Yeah, yeah.
Help me out. Daniel.
Daniel,
Daniel. The story
Shadrach,
of Daniel.
Meshach, and Abednego.
So when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. So that was what was preached on that Sunday morning. And then one of the people here came to me and said, Jen, I feel like this is about you. This was for you, and I feel like you're going to come out of this not even smelling like smoke. But we're still struggling. I'm struggling because I'm not the same as I was. And we're praising God for that. I have to. Right? This is where he's brought me. But the point is, when I came out of radiation, I had radiation every single day throughout the summer. And when I finished, I was supposed to be burned. My skin was supposed to be red and burned. And I saw someone else who had radiation at the same time as me. And she was red as your coat is, burned with like salve all over. And I did not have one bit of pink. So I came out not even smelling like smoke.
God showed up.
It's just a small whisper.
Yeah. All right, which one do you want? You can pick. That one's heavy.
It is heavy. I don't know if I'm not strong yet.
Soon. You want this one? Yeah. We'll carry you.
So yes.
That's what we do.
That's what's happened. God has given us peace. So as I look forward, I just want to say, as I lay this stone, to remember that God is faithful. I don't expect this year to be easy. I don't even expect that I won't find out I have cancer again later. What I do expect is that God walks through it all with us. And he's been so faithful to just show us promise after promise after promise in ways like that kind of blow your mind where you go, oh, yeah.
I love it.
So those are the stones we got to set up.
Thank you, Jen. Yeah. Thank you very much. All right, I'll come back to you in a second here. John. I should make you come up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Morning, everyone. I'll get through this.
Yes, you will.
22 years ago, my wife and I were blessed with a son, Dallas. And we were told by the Lord that he was given to us for very special and great things. And through his life, we've come to know that because he is special and he's loving and kind and caring. And many of you may know, about 2 months ago, there was a mass shooting down south in Thousand Oaks. Dallas was there to visit and encourage a friend. And through this process, God saved him in the midst of this tragedy where his best friend was lost and several others that he knew. We praise God for this because he'll glorify himself through Dallas and his family and are grieving. He's also used him mightily to help many who have lost and need to mourn for a lifetime, including Dallas. So we know many of you have been praying for him. Pray for me and Lisa and Savannah and Brad. It's very difficult to watch your loved ones suffer, as many of you know. And I'm weak, but he is strong. So thank you for your continued prayer. And we praise God for all of you and for giving us our son for a little while longer until he chooses. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, John. Amen. You get a big one. Yeah. All right, come on up, Becca. Kevin's got the baby. Yeah, all right. These are my friends, Kevin and Becca Babcock. And Faith? Faith. I was on the spot.
So we have a 9-year-old son and a 7-year-old daughter. And after having our daughter, a few years later, we wanted more children. And we tried. We ended up having 3 miscarriages. And we thought that the Lord had closed the door for us and found out that we were pregnant with her. It was a huge surprise for us and a huge blessing. And she showed up in June of this year, and just a huge answer to prayer. And we thank everyone who had been praying for us as well.
Amen. This is, the faith is, we were watching you walk through this and walking with you through this. And I know these were challenging. The last several years have just been really hard. And praise God. And I love that her name is Faith. Oh, all right. Which one do you want? Okay. Take the big one there. That's a good heavy one. All right. Who else? I have time for one or two more here. Okay. In the back. Come on up, Lori. Forget the whale. This is my friend Lori Cooper.
Hi. When your heart thumps, you know God's saying, go. Most of you know that just over a year ago, Cameron had his glory day, as Dave Crossan has said many times. God received Cameron home. Before he passed away, my in-laws, so Cameron's parents, had said for the girls' graduation that they were going to take him to Hawaii over Thanksgiving break. After Cameron died, they came and said, would you like to go? 30 seconds, sure. But I wasn't excited to go, and I couldn't figure out why. Until a Wednesday night, I was sitting on the beach with Christy. And I said, God, I'm not excited to be here because it was supposed to be Cameron and I. It wasn't supposed to be his folks and my girls. And then, of course, it as well starts running through my mind as you're watching the beach. And I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. And I said, God, is it really well? Is it really well with my soul? And God said, yeah. I said, how? This isn't the way it was supposed to be. My girls are not supposed to be without their dad. I'm not supposed to be without my husband. And he said, it's well because of who I am. It's not because of your circumstances. So many times we think things are well because things are good. We can sing it as well with my soul. We can sing when peace like a river because things are good. But when it's bad and it's horrible and you don't want it, how do you sing that? And God said, it's not your circumstances that make it well. It's because I'm consistent. I'm your constant in your life. So regardless of what God brings into our lives, he is our constant. And because of that, it is well with our souls. And the hope that we have that this is temporary, this is a dress rehearsal. This morning was dress rehearsal of what we're going to do in front of our Lord and Savior when he says it's time for you to come and be with me. So this year I look forward to more pain, more grief, but more hope.
Yeah.
And more of who God is.
Amen. Thank you, Lori. Thank you so much. Which one do you want? It doesn't matter.
Take it off.
All right. I have time for just one more. Yeah. You want to do it front? Okay. Come on. What's your name, young lady?
Lily.
Hi, Lily. Does your mom work for me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
This past year, we got to foster a baby boy. And then in June, we got to adopt him. And now I have a baby brother.
Yeah. Oh. What size do you want? That's for a baby brother. It's perfect size. Okay, you got to go put that over there on the pile. That's a perfect way to end there. Can we get into a regular habit of praising him, even in the storms? Can we get into a regular habit of remembering the things that God has done and telling the people that are around us? Because frankly, if all we sit there and do is thumb through Apple News every day on our iPhones, we're going to get discouraged. If all we do is watch Fox News every day, we're going to get discouraged. If all we do is watch all the other news today every day, we're going to get discouraged. If all we do is look around and say, things just, they aren't the way they used to be back in the days, we're going to get discouraged. But if we look right in front of us and say, and sometimes we just have to stop and say, God, what are you doing? As Lori did out on the beach in Hawaii, say, is it well with my soul? And to allow God to show up and to say, yes, yes it is. And then tell people about it. I'm halfway tempted to leave the pile there. And every time you have something, a God-sized thing that happens, bring a rock in here, add to the pile. And we'll tell some of these stories. Let's start telling these stories over and over. As the title of the message is Looking Back, Looking Forward, as we look back over the last year, we celebrate God's done amazing things. We celebrate how God has shown up. I look at this church, and I celebrate the fact that there are hundreds of people sitting in a room together, praising Jesus together, in what has been an interesting year at Sunrise Community Church, to say the least. And I praise him as we are here together. And so I say, remember, don't forget. As we look forward, let's set in our hearts to remember and not forget. Something happened this summer when we started in a series called Surrender. It was something that I hadn't seen in this church in 4.5 years that I'd been here. Where people just said, that's it. I need to surrender. I know, I've known this all my life, but I need to surrender. I need to take the control out of my hands and give it into God's hands. And then we talked about, for several weeks, we talked about the Holy Spirit. A 45-year-old Baptist church talked about the Holy Spirit. And as we talked about this, as we dug into the Word, we realize God's Holy Spirit is alive and well and active and living in each and every one of us that is a follower of Jesus Christ. And that He's called us to go out into the world and to be His voice. That Christ in me is better than Christ beside me. And that He's called me through the power of His Holy Spirit to give His word out to a lost and dying world that desperately needs to hear it. And so as we look forward, the three words I have for you this morning are simply, remember, don't forget. Remember, don't forget. Bring your kids back here. Bring your grandchildren back here. And tell the stories of God's faithfulness. Tell the stories of the miraculous way that God showed up when all seemed hopeless. And in that, we celebrate the new year at Sunrise Community Church today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for just the handful of stories we got to hear this morning of miraculous ways that you showed up. Whether it was delivering a check for an amount that needed to be there for a freezer to hold food for hungry people that can't afford it themselves. Whether it was comfort in the lost one, a lost loved one. Whether it was protection from evil. Whether it was the deliverance of a new child, a miracle baby, an adoption. Over and over, God, you showed up. Help us, Lord, to remember and not forget your faithfulness. Help us, Lord, to remember to tell those stories over and over of what you have done. And in all that, Lord, may we be always celebrating you. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. May I challenge you? I have four rocks left up here. You can come up and maybe you and your family. Maybe you're not the public type and don't want to stand up in front, but you want to just have a moment together to celebrate something God did. Come on up and take one of these and move it over there. And in future weeks, bring them. And we'll tell the stories of what God has faithfully done. As we close this morning, we want to show you a video. If you were here a week ago, we talked about this, but we're heading into a series called Selfless. That's the way to start a new year, isn't it? And so why don't you watch this video for a moment. We'll talk a little more about it and be on our way.